morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, March 26th, 2010, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Well, it's Friday. That must mean that Trey Arrow will be with us today to share his music, politics, spirit, and thoughts on water.
And, of course, headlines from around the region.
And there is a chance we will be speaking with Maud Barlow. If not, we'll be speaking about Maud Barlow with Peter Schoonmaker of the Illihee Institute.
Portland area weather today, rain letting up this afternoon, a high near 55. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 44. And then tomorrow's beautiful, mostly sunny, high near 64, before the rain comes back Sunday.
We're going to briefly go through a few of the region's top stories for you today before we get to the heart of the matter with Trey Arrow. One can easily picture Maud Barlow, national chairperson of the Council of Canadians, outside the corporate headquarters of Suez or Viola, all alone, bullhorn in hand, shouting to the executives on the 47th floor, "Come out! I've got you completely surrounded." But one can also picture hundreds of corporate executives coming out with their hands up because Barlow isn't alone. She has millions of people behind her. You can join those people this Saturday. She will be the guest lecturer at the Illihee Institute. Joining us right now is Peter Schoonmaker of the Illihee Institute. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Chris.
Thanks so much for taking a few moments to talk about the lectures. It's important for people to hear Maud Barlow's voice. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she's a remarkable woman. People have called her the Ralph Nader of Canada, and I think that's wrong because she's really the Ralph Nader for global water. And she's an incredibly busy, passionate, formidable person who's been at the center of indigenous and local people's fight over their water, which over the last 20 years has been incrementally sort of abducted by a half dozen large corporate water entities. Like you said just recently, the Suez and Veolia and RWH and these other huge global conglomerates that look to basically go into countries and cities and entities and use local water as a way to make big bucks.
It's the creeping privatization of a natural resource that belongs to all of humanity, really. Tell can you just let listeners know the when and where of the lecture?
Sure. She will be at the University of Portland at the Childs Center. The University of Portland and Illihee have kind of collaborated so that Illihee season ticket holders can just walk in. But to get in tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. at the Child Center up on Willamette Boulevard at the University of Portland, it's a $10 ticket. It's to see one of the world's civic leaders come and speak about this crisis that, as Maud says, is we're probably the awareness of the global water crisis with over a billion people not having access to clean sanitary water around the world. It's probably lagging the climate crisis in terms of awareness by about 5 years. And that doesn't mean that you should wait until 2015 till you pay attention to it. You should pay attention to it now and go see this remarkable woman.
Thanks so much for that, Peter. My guest has been Peter Schoonmaker, the director of the Illihee Institute, and that's Maud Barlow. Tomorrow, 7:30, University of Portland. Topic is water and justice.
Almost everything associated with agribusiness makes a direct contribution to climate destabilization. It should come as no surprise that a disappointing snowpack this year has farmers and ranchers worried. The dry months are coming and growers who depend on irrigation are in trouble. Not only that, but the water content of the snow is well below normal. Almost half of Oregon farmers irrigate summer all of their land, about 2 million acres statewide.
Okay, tomorrow, Saturday, write your environmentalism in lights, actually the absence of light. Send a message by flipping the switch at 8:30 p.m. That's Earth Hour. Earth Hour began in 2007 in Sydney, Australia, and quickly caught on in 2009, hundreds of millions of people in 4,000 cities in 88 countries all turned off their lights simultaneously. And you can, too.
The first public account from Portland police officer Jason Walters was out yesterday. In the summary, Walters explains the events that led to his fatal shooting of Jack Collins. In all, the elderly homeless man's criminal record consisted mostly of drinking in public. Walters told investigators that a homeless man holding a razor-type knife continued to walk toward him after the officer had fired two shots and repeatedly told him to drop the knife.
I still think I could have disabled the guy without shooting a gun. California's growers say that if the state legalizes recreational marijuana, it'll drive down the price of their crop and damage not just their livelihoods, but the entire Humboldt County economy.
In Marion County Jail, Donald Friedrichs of Grand Ronde was found dead by his cellmates yesterday morning. Friedrichs had a long and colorful criminal history in Oregon, including convictions for stealing cars, possession of controlled substance, and agricultural chemical scams. Still, too many people die behind bars.
America's forgotten war still has a few surprises for us. More than 4 years after the Haditha massacre in Iraq, a military judge is expected to decide today whether to dismiss charges against Staff Sergeant Frank Witterick. Witterick is the only remaining defendant in the biggest criminal case against U.S. troops to arise from the Iraq war. Stand by and see how that one plays out. And now, we have Treo with us back today, Friday, to share some music and thoughts on water and human rights. We are basically made out of water. It flows through us and it flows through the earth. Really, if you think about it, water is the essential ribbon of life, a river of life flowing through human beings and the earth, drawing us all together. And we take it for granted. And yet it's probably one of the most spiritual elements that we encounter every day. And you think about it.
Absolutely. It's I'm glad to see folks like Maud Barlow and Grandma Aggie, really two very powerful women bringing the water issues to the forefront of our consciousness, because it is extremely important. I mean, like you said, the water is the blood of this earth, and we are almost entirely made up of water. And now a great portion of our culture has accepted, almost without question, bottling water and putting it in toxic plastic bottles and drinking water that's most likely compromised and certainly affected by the plastic that it's bottled in. And so, there's a lot of folks that are saying that the next war is going to be over water. It's not going to be over oil.
And by that time, of course, we'll have run out of oil, so we won't have anything to make the plastic out of.
Well, that could be a good thing, I guess. But, yeah, so I think it's important. I think it's very important, the work that, again, Grandma Aggie is one of the 13 grandmothers that is part of the council, International Council of 13 Grandmothers that are all, bringing attention to different environmental issues. And it's important to keep that in mind and to bless the water and to realize how sacred it is. And we can last a long time without food. Actually, I've done a lot of hunger strikes and I've done a lot of fasting and spent a lot of time without food. Yet our bodies can survive only a matter of hours without water. And so it really is, besides oxygen, the most important element of to not only human existence, to all existence on this planet. So I'll play a little tune and kind of talking about some environmental issues that I was thinking about.
I don't deal with the monoxide from the cars. My car. Chokers benefits for our leaders. And the spirits and the stars are the teachers. And we should all think a little greener. And we should all ask more questions. And we should all take more action and less chaos.
That's true.
That's a little. That's just true. A little snippet, because I know we don't have a whole lot of time here.
We want more music.
Yeah,
we want to have music throughout the whole program.
Yeah.
We'll do that next time. It occurred to me listening to the lyrics that privatization of water, of natural resources that are everyone's birthright, is a form of invisible bars. It certainly is a way of controlling people, especially poor people, especially indigenous people. We saw that a few years back in Bolivia when there was an attempt to privatize water and people said no.
Absolutely.
It's our water.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. There are a lot of indigenous people in Africa and in South America have been fighting the privatization of water, and props to them. And, you know, the more that we can educate ourselves about what's going on and the multinational interests, and the more that we can build alliances and coalitions with other indigenous groups and coalitions and organizations around the world, then the more effective we can be as activists to really hold these corporations accountable and really preserve and protect the sacredness of all life. And also, a little plug for tonight. I'm going to be playing along with some other bands at the Red and Black tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. It's going to be a slideshow and music, all as a huge benefit for the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project. Karen Coulter and all her great friends are doing a lot of amazing work out in eastern Oregon to help save forests. And, of course, the forests are an integral part in drinking water, safe, pure, healthy drinking water. So everyone come down to the Red and Black tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. That's at Southeast 12th and Oak. And we'll be playing some music and a slideshow and a lot of good fun. And then, of course, this April Fool's is coming up in less than a week. So, you know, Rising Tide, there's International Rising Tide that encourage everyone to do, you know, fun little actions, whatever people feel moved to do around fossil fools. Don't be a fossil fool, you know, around April Fools. And, you know, calling attention to the egregious plans about the LNG pipeline here in Oregon. And also, you know, the continued dependency on oil and other fossil fuels when we have plenty of sustainable, renewable resources that we can be using.
Why don't you just, until we get kicked off the air, give us a few more tunes.
Yeah, here's a little tune about some water, too.
The world is fading right before our eyes, and we just sit back and not our share. We overconsume and we underconserve. Yes, we think it will always be there. Don't know what I'm drinking, don't know what I'm breathing. Well, I'm afraid of going outside. Afraid of getting burnt and afraid of cancer. And afraid the ozone that has died. She has died.
Thank you so much, Fred. That was extraordinary, appropriate, and a wonderful way to end a whole week of reporting on water issues.
This has been Eric Cascadia for Friday, March 26, 2010. Engineering is Todd Wilson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. Trey Arrow is our guest in the studio, and I'm Liam Delta.
You've been listening to news and comment and music from Air Cascadia on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.fm on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Now stay tuned for Flashpoints. Alan Nairn on a U.S.-backed assassination program in Indonesia, and Robert Perry on the media coverage of healthcare.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and have a good day.